ओम ज्ञान चिमरंदस्य ज्ञानांगिना शलाकया चक्षुरुन मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदामयं ददति स्वावनन्दिगं अददनस्त्रिनन्दन्दै हृदमिय च पुनः पुनः श्रीवद्रूपपदाम्बुजो धूलिस्यां जन्म जन्मनि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे गौरीं रक्तावरारम्यं सुनेत्रसुस्मितानानं श्यामं सुविष्टं सारिकं राधिकं आश्रयेत् सदा. Yesterday we were discussing that beautiful pearl pastime, a few days ago. This is related by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Mukta Charitra. And in there he has very beautiful verse. He must have seen into the future that Srila Prabhupada was going to establish these very, very beautiful deities of Radha Shyam Sundar in Ramanreti in Vrindavan. Because this verse completely describes our Radharani in Vrindavan. Gorim raktavararamyam sunetra susmitananam shamam savistam sadikam radikam asrayet sada. Gorim, she's very golden. Gorim raktavaram, and she's covered with red garments. Many times, Raghunath Das especially, he always describes Radharani as wearing red saris. Although generally, most of the time we'll find her description with blue saris, because that dark blue sari reminds her of Shyam Sundar. But many times Raghunath, we'll see in his poetry, he describes red, because she can wear many different saris. Just when we meditate on the pastimes, so generally we think of this blue sari. But anyway, Gaurim Rakta Baram Rakta, just like Rakta means red. Rakta Baram, she's covered in beautiful red sari. Gaurim Rakta Baram Yam, very lovely red sari. Gaurim Rakta Baram Yam Sunetra. Netra means eyes. But not just ordinary eyes. Here it says Sunetra. She has very, very beautiful eyes. Sunetra susmitananam. Just like now, other day, our Smita Krishna Maharaj came from Sweden. Susmita refers to that very, very beautiful smile. And here it says susmitananam. She's got our Radharani Vrindavan. She's very, very just. It's that beautiful smile where just a little tiny bit of tooth is visible. Not really visible, just tiny little bit. Sunetra susmitanam shamam. She's very, very simple. But swadistam sadikam. Swadistam sadikam. She's shamam. She's very, very simple. But swavista, we know avista means that our desired goal, that thing that we're desiring, swa, her own desired goal, and we're doing sadhana for what purpose? To reach some goal, sadikam, swavistam sadikam. So she is very extra, she's very simple gopi. But she's very expert at getting her desired objects. Svabhistam sadhikam. She's able to make that her abhist, sadhya, let it become perfected. Shamam savistam sadhikam radhikam ashrayet sada. Ashray, we know. So here he says, I'm always, sada, I'm always taking shelter of that Sri Radhika. So, where were we? We were in Bilaskar. We didn't get to Chiksoli. We took a little detour. Now, Bilaskar is so wonderful place. Because you go way on top of that hill, And you come down and there's beautiful little valleys there filled with pilu trees and so many wonderful trees. And you go down in those little valleys and whole world just disappears. And so many wonderful little kundas. You just expect any minute Nanda Nanda is going to look out from behind one of those pillow trees and wink at you and disappear. It's such a wonderful place up there. We don't go there very often because usually we're restricted by time. But sometimes we go up there and it's such a beautiful place. Pillow trees and there's a special type of tree we only see growing in Barsana. It only grows on the mountains. You never see it growing down on the ground. But where there's rocks and it's very dry, because mountains means it's high and the water runs down, so it doesn't need much water somehow. It just grows in the rocks. They call this, in Brij Bhasa, it's called Dao. So these beautiful Dao trees are there. And pilu trees, a very wonderful place. So if we come back down from Bilaskar, then we'll notice a very interesting thing as we're coming down and we're looking at the other hill on the other side of that. We just went through Sankari Khor. You see the other side, all of a sudden as we're walking down, we notice that all the rocks are golden colored. And if we get down and we look back at Bilaskar, we'll suddenly notice that all the rocks on this side are blackish colored. Because this hill of Barsana is incarnation of Lord Brahma. So he's, as Lord Brahma is golden, so this hill is also golden. And on the other side, this Bilaskar, this hill is actually incarnation of Krishna. Because he doesn't like to live very far from Radharani. So he's appeared as this hill of Bilaskar, and you'll see that the rocks are also blackish on this side. So as we go down the path, we come to the town of Chiksoli, which is famous for butter and milk and yogurt. And we get past Chiksoli, we make a little turn, and we'll find a beautiful little kund called Krishna Kund. Because one time Nandanandan came there in that beautiful forest, because now we've entered into the forest of Gevarvan. This is the most famous forest on the back of Barsana Hill called Gevarvan. And this is actually the playground. As we're hearing, so many wonderful pastimes have taken place here. There's so many hundreds and hundreds of dough trees are there. And those trees, in the rainy season, they have very, very tiny leaves. In rainy season, they're just filled with so many tiny, tiny little leaves just hanging down. Looks like emerald trees. Just like so many little emeralds are there, little tiny emeralds. And when the flowers bloom, then it appears to have so many little, those emeralds appear to be set in gold because so many little golden flowers are there. And as those flowers ripen, some little fruit comes and it's reddish, so it looks like emerald tree with rubies. And by the time you all come for the festival in March, or actually what happens is right around, we missed because we were all in Kumbh Mela, but if you come in December, suddenly all those leaves have turned golden and it appears to be a forest of little gold leaf trees. And if you come there in January, they've turned copper colored and it looks like a full forest of copper leaf trees. And when we go there now after the Mayapur festival and we go to Vrindavan festival, then we'll find there's not any leaves left on the trees. And it's very hot and the sun is very bright. But we'll see that now that the sun is very bright and there's no leaves to give shade, the bark has become very dry and it's very, very white colored. And it just looks like a whole forest of silver filigree trees. It's a very, very mystical forest. So just as we turn the corner of Gevarvan, one time Krishna was there with all his cows and cowherd boys, and there was no water. So he took his flute and he dug out this kund with his flute. So this flute is very, very handy for calling cows, for calling monkeys. We saw near Bimal Kund, he was calling monkeys, for calling gopis. Very beautiful. And for digging, kunds. Many places you'll find Krishna. There's one Venukoop. Many places Krishna uses his flute for digging kunds. So this beautiful Krishna kund is there, surrounded by beautiful, huge, tall peepal trees and a couple of little tamal trees are on the side. And many, many ferocious monkeys are living in this place. You have to be very careful. And in that place, we'll see in the opposite side of the kund, there's a beautiful little asan. This is asan of Madhu Mangal. Because we were telling that this Chiksoli is famous for butter and milk and yogurt and all these nice ghee, all these nice milk products. So one time, Nandanandan and all his cowherd boys, they came in a village and they spotted there was one gopi's house and nobody was inside. So they immediately ran inside the house and they took out all the butter and yogurt and they're having a big feast, eating and eating. And that gopi heard some noise inside her house and she peeked through the window and she saw this thing going on. So what did she do? She went around to the door. Now you've seen the doors in India, not like we have in West. There's two of them like that. And there's a little lock on the inside and the outside, you know, it goes. So she went and put the lock on the outside. That means who's ever inside now, he's locked inside, he can't get out. She immediately ran to call all the other gopis. Meanwhile, Nandanandan, he also heard that sound. He knows the meaning of that sound. Now they're locked inside the house. Now what to do? So his eyes, just like little chikora birds, are looking all around. He says, out the window. So all the cowherd boys, they all ran, they climbed up and they jumped and they went out the window, ping, ping, ping. Except one friend of Krishna, Madhu Mangal. First thing is, Madhu Mangal, he's lame. Batu is lame. So he can't move so fast like the other cow. They all ran, cleaned up and jumped up. Second thing, Madhu Mangal is not a... The gopikas, whenever they're angry with Batu, they always criticize and say, oh Batu, you're so fat, we're going to have to get a she-elephant to become your wife. We'll go get Gulab Kali. So, first of all, Batu was lame, he couldn't run so fast. Finally, he made it up to the window. Then he was a little fat and he went through. So all the gopikas, they came running back, they opened up the door, they came running and, ha, we got you, and they saw nobody there. Just this fat friend stuck there in the window with his legs kicked. So they pulled him out of that window. They take Nandanandan's flag, Janda, Nandanandan's Janda, and they come charging up the steps into the main temple. Now in the main temple, all around above the courtyard, they have huge pots of color. How did they make that color? They took keshu flowers. There's one tree, in English we call it flame of the forest. Just after the Vrindavan festival ends and it starts to get a little warm, then suddenly this bursts into bloom with beautiful red, so many beautiful red flowers. Hundreds and hundreds of beautiful red flowers. In the Goswami literature, they always refer to this as the Palasha tree. Whenever you read Goswami's books, you always hear Palasha. He has three great big leaves. Whenever the stem comes, there's three leaves, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. There's three big, big leaves like this. It's also in Brijbasis, they call it Dak. This is a Dak tree or Keshu. So they take those flowers and they dry them and they wait one whole year. Then they take them and they soak them for 2 or 3 days in great big pots. And the water becomes very, very beautiful yellow color and fragrant. And now they have pitchkaris. You know, pitchkari looks like a syringe, but this big, made of brass. And they dip them in those pots of keshu color. and then just spray them on everyone. And all the Brahmins from underground come running up, and they're just, then they go wild, just squirting them and throwing powder and squirting some more of this beautiful yellow. And it's so nice, this yellow color. It's very fragrant. It's very natural. With two washings, it's completely washed out of your cloth, not like all of these artificial dyes they throw. Anyway, and the whole temple room floor just becomes, it practically becomes black, because there's so many different colors have mixed, and it's just filled with, it's just an ocean of color, purplish, reddish mess on the floor. And then they go charging upstairs where everybody's squirting them, and they run around with the flag. Then they all come downstairs, and they just sit right in that water. All the Brahmins from Nandagram on one side, and all the Brahmins from Barsana on the other side. Just sit down, and they're all completely colored, every color you can possibly imagine. You can't even see their faces anymore. They're every possible color. And then they sing. They take out this beautiful, old, ancient songbook with great, big Hindi aksharas. And they sit there singing back and forth. And Nandagram Wallahs will sing something, and the Barsana Wallahs will sing. And they sing back and forth and back and forth. Meanwhile, on all the four corners, they brought up these huge bags filled with color. And they take a cloth, and they just pile up color in that cloth. And then they take it, and they just go like that. So from one corner, you see this beautiful pink, and there's always, on top of Barsana, there's always beautiful breeze. So suddenly, this big pink cloud comes shooting across like this. And suddenly, from this side, a blue cloud cuts it. From the other side, a yellow cloud comes. And from another side, a green cloud comes, and all this dust is blowing. It just looks like you're in Golok Dham. It is so transitless. This big pink cloud comes, then a blue cloud comes, then a yellow cloud comes, then a green cloud, another pink cloud, and all these beautiful clouds, and the Brahmins are just singing there. They're completely purple and blue and black, black and blue, completely covered. And then, after they finish with their singing, they all go downstairs. Now all the Brahmanis come from Barsana. Which Brahmanis? Only those who are married in Barsana. If you're born in Barsana, you can't play. Only the Brahmanis who are married in Barsana can play. And they have big bamboo poles. About the size of this one here. These two like that. These side ones, smaller ones like that. They have big bamboo poles. And they have beautiful, colorful saris with beautiful veils with all type of little gold and silver fringe on them, and they have beautiful skirts with beautiful little fringe, and all their bangles are there, hundreds and hundreds of bangles on their arms, and all their beautiful ankle bells. And they come downstairs in what's called Rangli Gali, and it is, the men are singing all these different songs and throwing insults at all the Brahmins are insulting the Brahmanis. And finally, they just start going, and bam, bam, and they jump. It's so amazing to see. They just, with, you know, they've been, you know, they don't have Maytag washing machines, you know, so they've been, you know, washing the cloth like this, rolling chapatis. They got a lot of shakti in those arms, you know. And they're not hitting, they're not hitting their prabhus, but these are the Brahmins from Barsana. So there's a special female bonding going. They know what rascals they were anyway. So there's bam, bam, and there's like four or five in the Nandagram Brahmins. They get down with this shield on top of their head. They just sort of squat and they bounce, you know, ping, ping, and there's like three or four girls just bam, and this goes da 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 da. There's four or five, and you have to be careful because they don't look when they go back like that. You know, if you're walking around, you know, you'll get it. You know, bam, bam, and they just with full force. I mean, you can't, it's, you have to see it to believe it. Just bam, 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 just smashing. Then another one will come, and he'll get down, and somebody else will grab the shield from him, and he'll get down, and bam, bam. And this goes on, you know, for about an hour or so. Just this incredible, all up and down the gully, they're running back and forth, bam, bam, and then they go around, and then they poke everybody for getting their dakshina. After it's all over. So this is the famous, because springtime, why do they play holi? Because springtime means that's, everybody becomes a little crazy. We've been so cold, and we were just cooped up inside and all wrapped up in sweaters and jackets and chadors and so many things. And all of a sudden, you know, the cuckoos are singing. Even they're becoming crazy. They keep going higher and higher. And all the flowers are starting to bloom. So everyone becomes a little crazy. So they just play all these wonder. They throw colors at everyone. It's a whole big spring festival. So Barsana is very famous for this. That's Nomi, the Nandasami, the whole thing repeats in Nandagram. All the Brahmanas from Barsana come to Nandagram. But somehow or other, there's more Brahmanis in Nandagram than there are Brahmins in Barsana. So there's like six or seven girls on one guy, you know. It's a lot of fun. So this is, and this is a season. We're in Barsana, and this is a season. This is the season of Holi. So here we see very, very beautiful temple of Radharani. Here they are called Ladli Lal. Ladli Lal. Little boy and little girl. So beautiful little deities are there. Lalita and Bishaka on the sides. Beautiful silver Singhasan. So this is actually the living place of Radharani. We go down the stairs, we'll find the living place of Radharani is downstairs. Now this temple, because we like to make temples on top of hills, but actually Maharaj Brihaspati's palace was down at the bottom of the hill. So this is the living place. Don't mistake it for birthplace. Birthplace, that's on the other side in Gokul, in a place called Raval. But this is the living place of Srimati Radharani. And so many, as we've seen, so many wonderful pastimes have taken place here. Then we go down the stairs, we'll see there's a beautiful palace with Maharaj Brihaspati and Sridham and Kirtita Maharani. On the way down, there's a little palace with Maipal and Sukada, the paternal grandmother of and grandfather of Radharani, Brihaspati's parents. There's a little temple there with Maipal and Sukada. It's interesting, all of the names, Sukada, Kirtida, Yashoda. Yash means fame. Yashoda, who gives fame. Kirtida means glories, who gives glory. Sukada, who gives happiness. Somehow these old Brihaspatis, they were all givers. But somehow all the givers have gone away. When you go there, you'll just be attacked by hundreds and hundreds of takers. Everywhere you go, they'll grab your chadar, they'll grab you this way, that way. There's so many takers. All the givers have gone away. Only takers are left in these places. But, and we come down the stairs, and we wander off to the side. There's a very, very interesting, beautiful little kund called Pili Pokhar. You know Pili? Pili means yellow. And Pokhar we already heard before. This means Pukur, means kund. Yellow kund. Now how did this kund get to be known as yellow kund? Pili Pokhar. Or if you ask anybody from Barsana, they call it Priya Kund. It's very sweet. Priya Kund. Nobody knows that. In Barsana, they don't know it as Pili Pokhar, but they know it as Priya Kund. But anyway, Pili Pokhar. What happened was we know that Srimati Radharani, she goes every day to Nandagram to cook for Nandanandan. And every day, Yasoda Ma, she sees this beautiful little girl. She's so sweet and golden colored. She's so modest and so chaste and so expert. And in every way, she's sweetness, more than sweetness personified. She has so many wonderful qualities. Every day, Mother Yasoda just thinks, wouldn't it be so nice if this young little girl became the wife of my Nandanandan? If my Lala would marry this little Lali, it would be so wonderful. Every day she thinks like that. One day, Mother Yasoda, she has so much happiness within her heart, thinking this thought within her mind. It would be so nice. She just took turmeric made a nice little paste, and she began to smear it all over Radharani's hands. Do you know what this means? When the two sets of parents come and they negotiate somehow or other the marriage, then they smear turmeric all over the hands to signify that this betrothal has been accepted. So Madhya Yasoda, she was just smearing like that. Radharani, she looked and she saw, now what will happen? You know? And she ran and she didn't know what to do, how I can go back to Varsana when everyone sees this. I mean, everyone will, they'll begin to ask, who did she get betrothed to? And who's the one, who will be her husband? What is going on? She says, everyone's going to wonder what's going on. And she didn't know what to do. And she ran to this kund and she began to wash her hands like anything in this kund. And the whole kund became yellow. But you know what happens when you smear turmeric on your hands? It never comes out. never comes out. For days and days, they stay yellow and yellow. So everyone saw, and when they saw, they ran to Brisabhanu, and they told Brisabhanu and Kirtida that we saw this beautiful turmeric on Radharani's hands. Must mean she's been betrothed, and nanda nanda. And Kirtida and Brisabhanu, they just became ecstatic and began to dance in joy, just thinking that, oh, our daughter is betrothed to Krishna. This is so wonderful. This is so nice. They thought, this is so wonderful. And they just, when Radharani came in sleeplessly in the house, they just embraced her to their hearts and they were so happy. And then Brisabhanu Maharaj, he called one of his messengers and he got a beautiful tray and he put so many valuable jewels and pearls and rubies on top of this tray. And he sent it, because as soon as the deal is done, then the parents of the daughter, they give nice gift to the parents of the groom. Like that. So they sent this messenger to Nandagram with a big tray of jewels. So we'll hear a little bit more. We haven't got to Nandagram yet, but we'll hear the rest of this pastime when we get to Nandagram. What time is it? We still got time, I think. 1 o'clock, all right. So I don't know if we'll hear the end of this pastime today. Maybe tomorrow we'll hear the end of this pastime. Because we haven't gotten to Nandagram yet. So, as we leave Pilipokar, we come to a very wonderful spot. First we pass by a beautiful Radha Govinda temple. Just in the forest. Beautiful Radha Govinda temple is there. And just beside that temple is a very, very special place. Actually, it has a very interesting history. One time, Krishna was there in this place with his cows, and there was no water for the cows to drink. So he dug this big kund, and all the cows began to drink there, so it became known as Gokund, because all the cows are drinking there. So originally this was known as Gokund. But then one time, this is one of the very, very, very last pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Braj. There was a very, very beautiful kunj with so many beautiful tamal trees and kadamba trees and palasha trees and pillu trees and so many jasmine flowers and so many little creepers. And it was very, very secret, and there was a little path with so many beautiful little creepers crawling across the path, so it was just like going through a little tunnel to get into that place. And Radha and Krishna were there in that place, enjoying wonderful pastimes together, and Madhu Mangal was standing at the doorway to that path as the guard. Now the king of the bumblebees, he was wondering, because bumblebees, they're always after honey, and there's nothing sweeter than the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That's sweeter than honey. So he caught that scent of those wonderful pastimes of Radha Krishna. He began buzzing here and there and here and there, and he went into this beautiful little corridor with beautiful little creepers with jasmine flowers hanging down and malati flowers and malika flowers and so many beautiful, And he went inside there. Madhumangal had dozed off. He passed by Madhumangal. And he came there in that beautiful kunj, and he saw Radha and Krishna were sitting together and telling jokes and riddles. Krishna said, they just appeared like a beautiful golden topaz and a beautiful blue sapphire sitting together in this kunj and laughing and joking. And Sri Nandanandan says, what is it that's dead but alive and enlivens the entire universe? And he lives in a body of 9 gates, just like a living entity. Sri Madhi Radhika smiled and said, that's easy. Sham Sundar, it's your flute. He's got 9 little holes. He enlivens, he appears to be dead, but he enlivens the entire universe with his wonderful sound. And he gets the nectar of Krishna's lips as his fee. So Radharani said, who is that who, though he appears to be very young, he's very old? Sometimes he's bound, but he liberates everyone. And he's very crooked and blackish and crooked and duplicious, but at the same time he's extremely pure. Who is that? And Ananda said, it must be me. I always appear very young, although I'm the oldest person in the universe. And I'm completely bound by my devotee's love, but I give liberation to everyone who meditates on our pastimes. And although I'm very black and crooked and duplicious, simply by chanting my name, everyone becomes purified. Like that. So this bee, he was just swimming in the... Now he's got the real nectar. He's just so happy. He was just buzzing and buzzing and buzzing in the... Beautiful scented breath that came from the mouth of Srimati Radhika was just overwhelming, and he just buzzed right in front of Radharani's mouth. And as soon as Radharani saw this big bumblebee there, she screamed and she sat up straight and she arched her back just like a bow, golden bow. And her braid was hanging down so sweetly, but she arched her back like that. Her braid was hanging down just like, looked like a big snake, you know, because it comes up like this and then spreads its hood on top of her head like that, just like a little snake, and she was screaming, and Krishna was trying to chase him away. When Radharani screamed, then Madhumangal woke up and he said, what's going on, what's going on? And he came running there with a stick and he said, he saw, how can you come here and bother my beautiful Radharani when I'm here, I'm the world famous, my fame is known throughout the whole world as the friend of Nandanandan, how can you bother them, possibly bother them? He came running with his big stick, charging like he's chasing after a huge lion or something like that. And he began swinging his stick around, and that bumblebee, seeing the stick and feeling the air, he was just buzzing here and there and here and there. And he flew away, and Madhumangal just chased him completely all the way down the path, completely out. And he came running back, and he began shouting, now Madhusudan is gone, Madhusudan is gone, Madhusudan will never return. Now even when Radharani and Krishna are together, there's still, even in union, there is a special type of separation. Because whenever we meet together like that, there's always that fear sitting in the background, always that fear in the corner of the heart that sometime we'll be separated, like that. Even in when they're separated, then there's that purvarag, that ecstasy of thinking, oh, when will we meet? And when they're together, finally they met, then there's a fear that, oh, there may be separation. And hearing, this is the most amazing pastime, because hearing Madhumangal shouting that now Madhusudan is gone, he will never come. Madhusudan also refers to another blackish fellow named Krishna. He's almost just like a bee. He's blackish like a bee. And just like you see the black bee, he's going and he becomes covered with little yellow particles of pollen. So Krishna is decorated with so many golden ornaments. And the bee, he goes from one flower to another flower. This Krishna, he goes from one gopi to another gopi. Like that, so many things in common. So he's also known as Madhusudan. And hearing that Madhusudan is gone, just that prema vaichitya, that separation, even in union, expanded within Radharani's heart to the point that she became completely mad and she was unable to see. When she looked at Krishna, instead of seeing Nandananda, and she saw her own self reflected in Nandanandan's chest, and she couldn't see Krishna anywhere, and she just began crying and said, "Oh, my Madhusudan is gone. Madhusudan has left me. Madhusudan has left me." And she began tying torrents and torrents of tears. And when that sound, that Madhusudan has left me, I'm alone, then when entered Krishna's ear holes, then he, that same thing expanded within his heart. He was unable to see Radharani sitting, and he began to cry. And both of them were crying and crying and crying, torrents and torrents of tears. And Madhu Mangal, now what is going on? And great endeavor, Madhu Mangal, somehow or other, he slowly, slowly, by chanting the holy names, and he pacified them in so many ways. Well, finally they saw they were sitting right beside each other in the kunj. But by that time, their tears of prem had come down on the ground and flowed in a beautiful stream and filled up that lake, and it became the lake of love, Prem Sarovar. Now this is one of the very last pastimes of Braj, because when Nandanandan observed this, that even in my presence, Radharani feels such incredible pain. He began to think, if I stay here any longer, what will happen to her? I have to leave. This is when he made his plan, that now I'll have to go to Mathura. Because very soon, I've been enjoying wonderful pastimes, but very soon, many, many powerful demons are going to come. And nobody in Braj is prepared. They just have simple little bows and arrows, and these very big demons are going to come, and all these kings are going to come, and it's going to be big battles, and this is not the place. I don't want my Braj destroyed, so I'll have to go away to Mathura and Dwarka. He began to, this is when he made, this is the last of Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Braj. He saw Radha, even in my presence, Radharani's feeling so much pain. If I stay here, her love will just increase and increase, and then what will happen? So he made his plan, an excuse of going to fight all the demoniac kings. He left for Mathura very soon the next day. So this is Prem Sarovar. Even another time, previous to this, another reason this is called Prem Sarovar, one time Radha and Krishna and all the gopis, they came here and they were dancing rasa dance in this place. And they were dancing and twirling around and dancing and dancing, and they all completely melted in prem, and their bodies flowed into the Sarovar. So it became also known as the Lake of Love, Prem Sarovar. So many, very special place. It's just shaped just like it's got eight little ghats all around, and eight little, I don't know, piers or whatever you want to call them, coming in like this, just like eight-petaled lotus flower. Very beautiful place. Prem Sarovar. So we'll tell one, because now we're coming down the road to Nandagram. So just as we come into Nandagram, on the left side, there's a little place called Nanda Betak. This place is where Nanda Maharaj sits. Especially in the evening, he likes to sit here. And he waits to see a very special cloud come in the sky in the evening time. You know that cloud? You know? Goduli. When all the cows are moving, Nanda Maharaj has how many cows? 9 lakhs of cows. Almost 1 megabyte. And when those cows are coming home in the evening, you can imagine, because you've been to Braj, it's very hot and dry, not like our Mayapur, where it's always moist and damp and all the dust seems to just, it just stays in the ground because it's all moist. But there it's very dry. So when the cows are walking along, then they kick up the dust, and 900,000 cows kicking up dust, it becomes a huge cloud. Just like we went to Jagannath. There we saw dust, actually. We went to Jagannath temple the other day. Now you noticed, on the way to Jagannath temple, there were so many beautiful mango trees in full blossom. This is Basant. And this is the color of Basant, this yellow color, these beautiful blossoms. In fact, in this season, Krishna wears these blossoms. I was just seeing, because here I saw some mango trees, but you know, they're not, those were so opulent. I was just astounded. I realized, oh, now it's Basant. Now I've seen Basant. We were going to Jagannath temple, and they're just laden with flowers, beautiful, opulent gold. And Krishna, he puts these on his, behind his ear, like earrings. These beautiful, you know, they're so beautiful shape, you know, just, and I was just marveling. And this color, this beautiful yellow color of the mango blossoms, this is the color of Basant. Just like in Kumbh Mela, on Basant Panchami day, you can do this in your temples when you, if you remember, on Basant Panchami, we made huge pots of saffron sweet rice. Because that's yellow color is the color of Basant. So the Basant Panchami day, you have to distribute yellow color everywhere in Vrindavan. They serve out kesar kheer, yellow kheer. So in your temples, you go back and Basant Panchami comes, you can make a big pot of yellow kheer and pass it out to all the devotees and guests. So we did it for all the guests and for outside also. We made big, huge pot of yellow sweet rice. This is the color, yellow of the sun. So anyway, we saw when we were walking down the path with Kirtan, so many clouds, so many clouds and clouds. Imagine 9 lakhs of cows. When Nanda Maharaj sees that cloud in the sky, then he knows that now Nanda Nandan is coming home. When he sees the Goduli, just at the end of the day, this beautiful cloud is there. Now he knows he's just sitting there waiting. Betak means sitting place. So he's just sitting there waiting to see Nandanan. Nandanan's coming. He's playing with all his friends. And all the gopikas, what do? They run to the roofs of the houses to watch Nandalala come wandering into Nandagram. And Krishna, he's Nandanandan, he's very, very clever. He puts his hand on Dauji's shoulder and pretends to talk to Dauji, but actually what he's doing, so that nobody's superiors won't see, he's actually looking up on, he pretends like he's talking to Dauji, but he's actually looking up on top of the rooftops. And it's reminding me, I have one, the last of Kumbh Mela, one of my very best friends came. I met, previous Kumbh Mela I met, his name is Shamdas. He was wandering around Braj long before ISKCON was in existence. He became initiated in Ballabha Sampradaya. A very wonderful devotee named Shamdas. And he knows so many Brijbasi songs, so beautiful songs. He was singing this one song that's so sweet. When he sings the song, you can hear the hooves of the cows clocking along the street, you know, as they're walking through Gokul, you know, the clickety, 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 clickety. And he sings this beautiful song. It's so sweet, the melody. Clickety, 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 clickety. You can just hear the cows walking. And he goes, kisiko ha kahi, kisiko na kahi. Kisiko ha kahi, kisiko na kahi. Because the song is describing, Krishna's coming back with all the cows. And they're walking through the streets of Gokul or Nandagram or somewhere. And Krishna's got his hand on the shoulder of Balaram. And all the gopikas are on the roofs and they're making little notes and wadding them up and throwing them. And Krishna's catching the notes, he's reading them. And kisiko ha kahi, kisiko na kahi. You know ha? Yeah. Yes. Ha. Ha means yes. And na means?
No.
No. So to some he's saying, they're sending little notes for Krishna to meet them in the night. And kisiko ha kahi, kisiko na kahi. Somebody's saying yes, to some he's saying no. Why? To some he's saying, yes, I will meet you in the evening. And to some he's saying, no, not like yesterday evening where I didn't come. Like kisiko ha kahi, kisiko na kahi. like this. So this is Nanda Betak. Nanda Maharaj is waiting for Krishna to come home. Our Jadarani, she painted so beautiful painting of this. Of course, she put the gopis downstairs, but actually they're on the roofs. But it's so beautiful painting. Krishna and Balaram coming and all the gopikas standing there like this. It's such beautiful poses. So this is Nanda Betak. And tomorrow we're going to hear a very wonderful story about, it's a big, long story about Nanda Betak. Because Betak, sitting place, that means just like, you know, over, way on top of the Conch building, we have GBC Betak. Means where meetings take place also, Betak. So somehow they made their Betak over here this year, but I hear they're going to go back. But anyway, we hear some very wonderful stories about Nandagram and Nanda Betak, and so many places are here in Nandagram. And we'll hear, and the end of the story about Pili Poker, we'll also hear that now we've come to Nandagram. So, any question? Yes?
Isn't Nandagram far away from the place where Radharani was living? And she would go to Nandagram every day? That's a long distance,
right? No, it's just a few kilometers down the road. Mm-hmm. And for Radha and Krishna, there's no question of distance. Just like we go to all these places by bus, but actually Nandagram and Barsana, they're very close. But when Radha and Krishna want to go to the places come to them. It's described just like a lotus flower. In the nighttime, its petals are very close together. In the daytime, they spread out like this. So it opens and closes. So when Krishna wants to go somewhere, then the place comes to him. When Radharani wants to go someplace, the place comes to them, to her. And when they want to go away, then the place leaves. So there's, we can't think, but actually, you can see, it's just, it's one of the shortest walks on the whole Braj Prakam when we go from Nandagram to Barsana. And most of the time she's in Javad, which is even closer, because next, after Nandagram, we're finally going to reach Javad, hopefully.
How did she get married to...
We'll hear that when we get to Javad. you're getting ahead. Yes? Kalank, Kai, that he shrinks, Banke, he's crooked, Nisachar, he comes out at night, and Vishya, Bandhu. In fact, the Brijbasis say that actually Radharani became so free as she ran underneath the temple. They say there's a cave there, that Radharani hid in this cave. I've never seen this cave, but they told me there's a little cave underneath them. And Mangar, somehow or other, this place, some of the most ecstatic kirtans take place there. Many devotees told me that sometimes they go up on the roof. Because in Braj, the evenings are, it's always very hot and the evenings are very pleasant. Everyone goes on the roof. You see everyone's house in Braj has got a flat, it's flat on top because everybody, they sleep up there. Everybody goes, everything happens on the roof at night. They eat there, they sleep there, they talk there. So everybody goes and they have big rip-roaring kirtan. Sometimes the Brijbasi, they're just so in ecstasy, they fall off the roof, they run back up and join the kirtan. So ecstatic kirtans. Mangar is a very special place.
The three principal deities in Vrindavan, they represent a part of the body of Krishna.
Madan Mohan is the lotus feet, Gopinath is the Vakshastal chest, and Govindadev is the Mukha Chandra, moon-like face of Krishna. And all three of them are in Radharaman.
Is that found in Prabhupada's books?
I don't think so. So, then we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's introduced us to these wonderful places in Nandagram and Barsana. Srila Prabhupada ki.